Hello, welcome to Simply Syndicated Gaming News. This is like movie news, but with games. That was an enthusiastic intro, and I'm joined by two wonderful people who are going to help me talk about these games. So we have on Skype here, we've got Emma. Hello, Emma.
Hello.
Who you'll know from various podcasts on the Simply Syndicated Network, because she gets everywhere, because she's lots of fun. And then on the, we also have Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hello.
Who you might well recognise from various shows over the years. You aren't without appearance, are you?
I like to go underground every so often.
Yeah.
You know, burrow down, form a cocoon, and reemerge several years later.
Quite like
to terrorize.
Quite like Eugene Toombs. X-Files reference. Sorry.
I do know that reference.
You do?
No, I do.
Yeah.
I do. There we go.
He cocoons himself up only to emerge every 30 years to eat the livers of five new people and then
disappear again. Toombs was good. That was a good episode. I made whenever I was watching X-Files, I made a playlist of only the good episodes that I found online. So I skipped all the filler.
Oh, yeah. But Toombs is a good... Right, we're already Toombs off topic. So...
There have been some terrible X-Files games over the years.
They certainly have.
Wow, they really have.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think I've ever played a good one.
Yeah.
So starting off on our gaming news from Kotaku, more video games are getting easier. Really? Or is this specifically after release more video games are getting easier? Like we do things to make them easier. Oh, that makes sense, though.
Well, it reminds me somewhat of the phenomena that the day after a crossword comes out, it's technically easier to solve it. Statistically, because so many people have already solved it.
Yes, that makes sense.
Ish. Yeah, it's one of those odd statistics. I don't think games are getting easier or harder. I think people just complain.
I think this might be something about sort of like, so the game comes out and then there's a patch and then suddenly the game's easier. And I would put that more down to things like they made it too hard in the first place.
Yeah. I think that the article talks about is Outlast 2. I watched, although I'm a bit of a scary game wimp, I don't tend to play them, but I will watch people play them on YouTube. And having watched a playthrough of Outlast 2, especially sort of in the, just a few days after release, it was hard because it was poorly optimized. Not that it was hard because it's hard like, say, Dark Souls or Bloodborne is hard or the old Nintendo games are hard. It's not a case of skill. It's because, you know, it's been through a dev team, but if there's a stealth section in, say, Outlast 2 where there's a lot of it, there's a stealth section, the guys on the dev team know where you're supposed to go in the stealth sections. They've played it 100 times, whereas people who then get the game, you know, it's not obvious to them. It's that whole thing of like the old puzzle games of, you know, you've got to combine this thing with that thing and then go and do the other thing. The strand of logic that the developers use is not the strand of logic that anyone else on planet Earth uses. So it's not till lots of people play this game and then go, what the fuck, I can't get through this section, and people rage quitting and going on forums and, like you say, Reddit and things like this, moaning about it. And then someone turns around and then the patch comes out. But then you have the other section of gamers, especially in the wake of, like I say, things like Dark Souls and the whole, you know, the get good memes and all this sort of thing of, you know, if you can't do it, that's your fault. So there's this now thing of, there's a significant voice in games culture of like, games are just too easy now as a full stop. So then them now be, after release being made easier is somehow like it's not authentic or something like that. I sort of struggle to articulate that part of it, but.
Well, it's funny because just today, I think they announced that there's, it's more often, I think, the opposite. Like they bring out new difficulty modes to games, like in new, you know, releases of the game, you know, intentionally to try to bump things up for people. But I've played through my first share of games at release and thought, bloody hell, that was hard, and then found out that it wasn't supposed to be that hard. And there is a bit of resentment you know, having pushed through the pain, knowing that the next people who come on after me, I don't like being a beta tester.
No, I totally understand that.
Yeah.
Totally understand. And yeah, I understand with the whole, look, playing through the Zelda games, there are so many moments of how the fuck was I supposed to figure that out? That nobody could have possibly ever known that unless there was a YouTube walkthrough, which there wasn't in the days of the SNES.
True.
I mean, I think that's the thing as well. When people were our age, you didn't see the end of games. You got 2/3 of the way in and it was too hard, and then that was it.
I never got past the Labyrinth Zone on Sonic 1. Never got past it until like 3 or 4 years ago when I got it on PC and they let you save.
Yeah, this is how I'm doing it now. It's just, you need save states. You need all kinds of stuff. And yeah, as a kid, I didn't see the end of a single game.
No.
You just didn't.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I can say that too.
I think it's just an accessibility issue as well, because so many more adults, as you would say, people who are, you know, 30 plus, either coming, because someone like me who came back to gaming after a long break, I mean, thank you Christ for sort of easy mode in these things, because sort of reprogramming my brain again to be able to, my reactions and things like this. But I think if it had been like it was when I started playing games the first time, the controller would have been wedged in my door, because you need a way to scale back into it. And I appreciate there are people who want to put themselves through the challenge of, you know, extreme hard modes and hardcores and go on YouTube, and there's a billion things of people playing things in a much harder way than they need to. You know, there's a bloke who's completed Dark Souls using a Guitar Hero controller. Yeah. You know, and good for you, my love. All the best to you.
You think that's good? Did you see last week there was a guy playing Overwatch using a baguette?
A baguette?
A baguette.
Like,
I did see that, yeah.
Yeah, he'd managed to hook up motion controls and a little scope to a baguette. And he was sniping everyone, headshots left and right, taking bites out of his controller.
That's spectacular.
I know.
They should all have a baguette add-on.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and all the best to you. I love you for it, and I'll enjoy your YouTube video. But at the end of the day, sometimes I just want to play a game, and it's got an awesome story, and I'm like, you know what? I can come back, and I'll play it on hard some other time. I just want to enjoy the story, enjoy winding down after I've been to work, or had a hard day or do something else, and just blow stuff up, or like I say, enjoy a story. And you know, things like Alien Isolation much later, you're saying about introducing different difficulty modes, introduce a novice mode below easy again, so you can just go and enjoy being, you know, run around and hide in a locker from an alien and things like that, and it's not gonna make you want to, you know, rip out your own organs. So I think there's a place for everybody on these things. And you know, if you're a person who's like, you know, it's not hard enough and you want to play it blindfolded and backwards and all these sort of things, then, you know, good for you. But I don't think you should begrudge people, this is my opinion, I don't think you should really begrudge people for wanting a more relaxed experience, let's say.
Absolutely. But at the same time, part of me also likes that there are some games which they're not willing to lower the barrier to entry. Like Dark Souls, if Dark Souls brought out an easy mode, I would lose all respect for the game. And I cannot play that game. I suck at it. I think respect it for that.
Yeah, but I think that's it. Bloodborne as well and Dark Souls have kind of set themselves up as that. So to introduce an easy mode in Dark Souls goes against the principle of the game. So I'm not saying introduce an easy mode, to that. So, but they've put themselves apart from other games, and in a way that's one of the things, you know, I like about Xbox and PlayStation Xbox achievements and PlayStation trophies. You're not that kid down the playground who reckons they've beat Shinobi when they haven't. You know, there's these things that now there are things that you can look at and say, I have actually done it, here is the proof, so shut up, which I also appreciate, because, you know, I can't tell you how many times I got called a liar at school and things.
Well, I got called a liar at school, but that's because I lied constantly. It was great. But yeah, another part of this is just the sort of the intrinsic nature of game development, that, you know, no matter how much a game is tested, even the developers who live with the game, don't really know truly how difficult it is until some people in the wild have played it. And so, you know, difficulty patches afterwards. I think as long as, you know, it's a difficult thing of judging whether they should lower the default or introduce new, you know, notches for people to choose. Because, lowering the difficulty on me automatically, I would resent. But, you know, allowing me to choose, okay, a little bit more casual, I think I'd be more okay with.
I think a lot of it has just got to do with how broken the game mechanics are in the first place as to how you treat it. I mean, it might be making games unplayable that they're that hard. You'd have to take it on a case-by-case basis, I suppose.
True.
I know a lot of people complained about Breath of the Wild, and Nintendo just shook their head and like, no, well, you know what we're doing. Go fuck off. Weapons break. Deal with it. Like, but I don't want my sword to break. That's unlucky. speaking of Nintendo, so here's an add-on for your Android smartphone. So, not my phone.
Yes. My phone. I'm in the Android ecosystem.
So, this plays Game Boy and Game Boy Color games on your phone. And it's like a little thing you sit your phone in and it becomes like a Game Boy. I kind of like it, I must admit.
Well, yeah, because if you've ever tried to play, you know, Sega just, I'm not sure if it's out now or if it's out or if it's coming out, but they've just released like a big classics collection on the mobile. A bunch of classic games. But if you've ever tried to play a game that was supposed to be played with a controller using a touch screen, it is...
You can't do it. It's horrible.
It can't be done. It really can't be done. So anything that helps, you know.
I tried optimistically for years. Honestly, I've got lots of classic Sega games on my iPhone and even Android phones. You cannot play Sonic the Hedgehog without a controller, and that is all there is to it. I just can't get my head around how anyone can do it. And I even went as far as buying like a Bluetooth controller for my phone. But they just weren't anything like widely supported enough. Something like this, I think is an alright idea, but to be honest, I still prefer the 3DS. I think that's still the way to go. Until there's a smaller Switch.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to the new 2DS XL. God, their naming conventions are doing my head in.
Oh, they're horrible, aren't they?
They are absolutely horrible, yeah, but this new 2DS XL Pro Plus Negative, whatever. It's looking like the one that might finally, you know, hook me in, because I just can't pay for a feature I'm not going to use. And the 3D, I just...
I understand. Yeah, I mean, I was actually going to get one of the 2DSs for Allison and just got fed up of waiting and bought a 3DS instead. Because it seemed like a really good anniversary present, and it really was. And she has the 3D on, but and I'm the same. You sort of have it on, but if it wasn't there, it wouldn't ruin the experience. It's a weird thing. It's nice, but that's all it is. And I've never experienced a time where it's made the actual game better.
This is an ongoing Nintendo problem.
Yeah. So I would honestly, I totally recommend that 2DS. I think it's a cracking looking little thing. And at the price with the game library that's behind it.
I mean, yeah, like 130 quid. I mean, that is a solid, you know. And the games now, like the classics, I went on Amazon and have a look through, and like, you know, Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask are like 15 quid. I'll buy that. Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
Because as we've just said, I never finished Ocarina of Time back in the day.
It's so satisfying. And and the 3DS or the DS version of Ocarina of Time is considered to be the definitive version of that game.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Which I think is a wonderful indication of what weight Nintendo put on their handheld consoles. It's not a lesser version.
When the Wii U was out, Nintendo's handheld division, if they did not have that, they would have sunk.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. They would have been dead in the water. The 2DS, you know, and the 3DS really kept them afloat. So,
and they're still knocking out sort of 7 million of them a year.
Yeah.
So it's still going well. And even when they stop making them, there's still a game library of like, I think it's like 3,500 games or something like that. It's ludicrous. And true. There's so many good things.
Mm-hmm.
I must have like 15 games here and I don't have a bad one. I couldn't even say that of the Xbox 360. You know,
no.
It's a fantastic platform. But this actually ties into the next thing I found from Engadget that says gaming smartphones are still a thing in China. And by gaming smartphones, we mean smartphones that have proper controls on them and all that kind of thing. They've got one here that looks like a PS Vita.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I suppose it's basically what you had there, but it's built into the device.
Yeah.
Which is better.
Yeah, but it's that thing of, is it a phone you can play games on or a handheld games unit that someone can ring you on? It's that thing of it's sort of not one thing or the other, so it doesn't do either super well.
Yeah.
What was the name of the Nokia thing?
The N-Gage.
Yeah.
That was a kind of case of what went wrong with the N-Gage. Well, how long have you got? Every decision was wrong. Absolutely every single possible decision made about that device was the wrong decision made.
Yeah, you had to turn it off to change your game.
And the game,
you had to turn your phone off.
Yeah. And am I right in thinking that the game cartridge slot was actually underneath the battery? So it involved sort of taking the back off the phone, taking the battery out, then swapping the game cartridge, which was an SD card. So they were just all piratable immediately. Yeah. So
you may be right, but it is uncouth to speak ill of the dead.
It is.
Yeah.
Poor old Nokia N-Gage.
Oh, wait, no, it's Nokia. Fuck them.
Yeah. And then the mouthpiece and earpiece were on the side, not on the front. So you held it up to the side of bad idea. Bad idea.
Yeah.
But these Chinese ones actually look pretty good. I mean, ultimately, the problem is they're running Android games, which are the same Android games available to everybody everywhere.
True.
You know.
Also, I don't want to cast aspersions on China, but also, is it going to be like Angry Brids that you're playing? You know,
quite possibly.
You know what? I misheard that. I would happily play Angry Brits.
Oh, Brits, like yeah, BRID. Brits.
That would be fantastic.
And linking into other Chinese gaming news, this is a weird thing. Tencent. Announced this week that they will limit the amount of time children can play the role-playing mobile game Honor of Kings amid concerns that some children were becoming addicted. So, Chinese internet giant will begin limiting playtime for users below the age of 18 on Tuesday. Players under the age of 12 will be limited to 1 hour of playing per day and will be blocked from accessing the game after 9 p.m.
This is great.
Yeah, users between 12 and 18 will have a two-hour daily limit. Wow.
I hate kids. This is great. Anything that makes a child's day worse, I'm all for it.
The game won't let you play it. Right. I have to say, apart from the game that Riker brings back from Ryza in that episode of Next Gen, people don't really get addicted to playing a game. They enjoy it a lot, but I don't think there's such a thing as gaming addiction.
What about that guy that died?
Yeah, well, China and Japan have, in the normal world, by which I mean, you know, Europe and America, there's, you know, gaming addiction's kind of a hard sell. China and Japan have some serious problems with gaming addiction.
South Korea also. I mean, with Doga and things like that, yeah.
Yeah, people are dying.
Holy shit.
Yeah, because it was that guy who played World of Warcraft for like, it was like some stupid, like 48 hours, like solidly, and just dropped dead in the chair.
Does this not point to other psychological problems, though?
It is. Yeah, this is the thing. It is a pre-existing problem that they had, you know, before games were due to the social issues. In those countries, there was a phenomenon of people just taking themselves off into a room and just dying, just staying shut in and dying. And I think, you know, frankly, you know, video game addiction, it's a, you know, at least they were distracted.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know. There was, wasn't there a case of some, a couple just let their kid starve to death while they played StarCraft or something?
Yeah, that was another Warcraft one as well. But I think part of me is a little bit cynical because I'm only sort of vaguely aware of mobile gaming. I sort of not that into it, but this is a game I hadn't heard of. So part of me gets a little bit cynical and goes, "Oh, let's put a thing about how our game is so super addictive. You're only allowed to play it this much. Wow, let's go and check that out. It must be really cool." And the other thing is as well, I mean, we're talking about China here, which, you know, again, I don't want to sort of speak out of turn, but
no, go for
the
it.
Sort of the media the way they restrict media and stuff like that is pretty well known. So anything that's sort of perceived as kind of being like, as they sort of in that article talk about it disrupting social cohesion and things like that. Because in China, I don't know if this is apocryphal, but apparently, like, films about time travel are banned. So Doctor Who is banned. Yes. That's what I know about. So Doctor Who is banned in China because you aren't allowed things about time travel that implies you could change the past.
Yeah.
For cultural reasons and things about the way that China is run and the social things there. So I think that's all part of it. So
Happen. Don't look at the past. Ignore the past.
Yeah. Talking animals as well. Anything in which an animal talks is banned because you're not allowed to elevate animals to the level of human beings.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Asia really is another world.
It really, really is, isn't it?
East Asia, I suppose I should specify.
Mind you, maybe we have things that we're not allowed that would make other countries question why we're not allowed them. You know, I mean, like, and that the same happens in America as well. They're not even allowed Kinder eggs. Although, you know, you're really not missing out on it. The toys have been shit since the 80s. Come on.
That is true. The toys have been shit, but the chocolate's still good as ever.
That's true. That's true.
Mm. It is good quality. No, this is one of the things that interested me about this is that video games do have sort of a history. The video game industry have a sort of history of being very pro self-regulation. You know, they don't. The ESRB was set up voluntarily before the government, you know, wanted to step in and take over the rating of games.
Yeah, I think every industry would like self-regulation. The video game industry was just clever enough to get in there quickly.
Yeah.
And be something that a lot of people just don't understand. You know, how many people in government give a shit about computer games and gaming nowadays? Apart from the obvious sort of the American Republicans in the 80s and 90s and stuff like that. We just don't see that here. Mm. Thank goodness. Because, God, never mind.
Well, I think you do. I think you do to a point, you know, when there's some kid who's done something shitty and they end up in court, isn't it always that when you're on then the news is like they really like violent video games and spent hours playing them? So I think it's an easy fallback position still.
I'm waiting for an outrage against VR. You know, the idea that, you know, this kid, he played loads of VR and then he went out and he, you know, did something awful. But the barrier to entry for that is that we just don't have room for VR to take off in this country.
Yes.
Who has the space?
Exactly. To be honest, having a dog is a factor as well, because he will jump on me while I've got a headset on.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But honestly, if I heard of a kid in my town who had enough room for a personal VR setup in his room, I'd go around and I'd burn the place down. No, you don't get that.
No. We just, there's no room for it here. Like, there wasn't room for Kinect and anything else. Stand 7 feet back from your television. Okay, now I'm up against the wall, so what next?
Now I'm next door. I'm in next door's living room. Now what was I doing?
Yeah.
But the same with when the Wii came out and no one's living room in this country is big enough.
Absolutely. And you watch the videos and these people are playing in living rooms that would be event venues here. You know?
Absolutely.
Like, you'd hold a wedding in those living rooms. My God, I think maybe we just like being close to each other. We certainly don't. And do you know what actually puts me off VR? Is I know how I would mess somebody about if they were playing it in the room with me. So
you couldn't help yourself, yeah. Could you?
Look, if Alison had a VR headset on, I guarantee my bare ass would be an inch from her face without her knowing it for the entire duration of her playing it. That would be it. And yeah. So why would I expect anybody
God
to...
help you. Yeah. God help you if she's playing Surgeon Simulator.
Well, yeah,
God, Rich, this the feedback is just fantastic.
This is
really
it.
This feels
is,
like
the people who end up in A&E with a Move controller up their rear end say, I was mooning my girlfriend while she was playing on the VR thing, and this happened. She just stuck it up there, and now I light up.
Oh,
in other news this week, Game blames somebody else for their problems
again.
Why didn't you make much money, Game? Well, we wanted to sell lots of the Switch, and Nintendo didn't make enough Switch, so we didn't sell enough Switch, and now we're poor. Okay. Why did you put that much weight on the selling of this totally unknown product that no one, including its makers, knew how well it would do? And, in fact, their last venture was pretty shit.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think really relying on the Switch to do well was something Nintendo had no choice about, but Game should have perhaps not put so much weight on, in my humble opinion.
Yes, I agree with that entirely. I haven't done business with Game in quite some time.
I'll be honest, I try to as much as possible, because I enjoy going in there. They're always very friendly and willing to talk shit about games for ages. And they know what they're talking about generally, or at least as much as I do. And I try, but the problem is their stock. They never have any new Nintendo stuff in.
Yeah.
So that is a barrier of entry. So I'm looking at just PS2 stuff or the one or two Nintendo things that they do have in. And it is difficult, but I do actively try. But it's not Nintendo's fault, you poor Game. Come on.
Yeah, they're silly. I mean, again, a bit like you, Rich, I do patronise my local Game. It's handy that it's like a 5-minute walk from my house as well. But I'm a person, like I say, I kind of missed the whole generation. So I was out of gaming for a long time. So when I got back into it, Game was a great resource. So I can go and buy a pile of 360 games, you know, like 3 for £20, or, you know, buy two, get the third free. So I managed to catch up on a bunch of stuff very sort of economically. And again, everyone who's in there is very friendly, is very nice. Again, because even with the Xbox One, I don't tend to buy games on release, because these days they are broken for the first 3 months or, you know, especially with dear old Ubisoft, you know, and the shambles that they put out usually. Never buy a Ubisoft game when it comes out. Just don't. It's always broke. Wait 3 months at least for them to fix it, then go and buy it.
Not only is it always broken, but just choosing which version to buy is a fucking nightmare.
Ubisoft do lots of like gold edition, collector's edition, special edition.
This was what I was about to talk about, because Assassin's Creed Origins, so the big new one. I actually went to my local Game to see what version of the special edition there, because I'm a big Assassin's Creed fan. I will probably play this game as shortly after releases it takes for Ubisoft to fix it. So I went to go see what sort of collector's edition Game would stock. Also, Wolfenstein, the new Wolfenstein that Bethesda are putting out, obviously there could be a special edition of that. So I mean, you know, I'm like, okay, Game, I want to give you some money for the special editions of these things. What have you got? And you walk in and fuck all. Because there's no posters up. There's no advertising up for it. I think there's something on the website, but I'd really like to talk to somebody about it and actually tell me what's in the box rather than try and get through your impenetrable website and there's a bugger all. And it's like, you're not helping yourself, lads.
I fucking hate that website.
May I take us on a slight tangent?
Absolutely.
Because while you were talking, whenever you were talking about a special edition of Wolfenstein, I immediately thought I would put my money down immediately if they did one with a free inflatable Nazi. And that led me to Google inflatable Nazi. And I've just found a wiki page for the Borgheild project.
The what? Sorry?
The Borgheild project. No, Adolf Hitler supposedly approved the project to distribute inflatable sex dolls to his soldiers.
Oh!
Which could be transported in their backpacks in order to give them an option to avoid places of prostitution in Paris.
Aimed at combating the spread of syphilis among Nazi troops.
Yes, although it's considered possibly apocryphal. Mainly because it's impossible to avoid places of prostitution in Paris.
That's true.
Yeah.
And there would be a lot of these sex dolls left over. You know, we'd find them. They'd be part of Nazi memorabilia collections and that sort of thing.
They would have found one in that vault in Argentina they found the other week.
Exactly. Nazis and inflatable sex dolls. They also invented Fanta.
You are correct. They did.
Yeah.
That's why I call it Nazi Coke.
It is, because it is Nazi Coke. There's just no two ways about it. But Dragon is bad. I actually looked up Assassin's Creed Origins on Amazon. And there are four versions available.
Yes, that's why I wanted to go into the shop and see what they had, but they won't tell me.
It's funny because that is one of the things Game have been, especially Game, the website, their online retail arm, have been really hanging on to is the exclusive special editions. Like I have the Fallout 4 special edition, the one with the Pip-Boy.
Oh, right, yeah.
It came out, and that's primarily the reason I won't do business with Game Online anymore is just the level of customer service and the level of just lack of infrastructure. Like they get an exclusive for a massive game and they know how many units they're going to get to sell. And yet they somehow never have the infrastructure in order to take those orders and make sure that there are no cock-ups in delivering them. And it's just a bit of a nightmare. So I'm absolutely happy with these going to Amazon.
They've got the right intentions. They're just not well run. It's like a game company run by me, really.
Yes. I'm not saying I could do any better, but I'm not trying to.
Yes, so that's the difference. You haven't put lots of stores and written Game on the front of them.
Exactly. Exactly. Mainly because I couldn't be trusted. The two. If I bought loads of stores, the signs would be taken down in a day.
Yeah. You want the God's Collector's Edition of Assassin's Creed, by the way. It's $94.99.
Oh, right. Okay. It comes with a statue, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I wish I could say that I haven't spent more on a special edition.
Yeah. I don't know if I want a statue. I just, you know, I don't need another thing that collects dust in this house.
No.
You know what I mean?
I have all the Assassin's Creed the statues up to Paris.
Unity,
yeah. That was the game that broke me.
Yeah, Unity is absolute dog shit. It's at the bottom of my list of Assassin's Creed games, along with 3, which I absolutely hate as well. But do you know what? I had a look at that as that 94 quid one you're talking about, Rich, and I said to Chuck, I like the box much more than the thing that's in the box.
Yeah.
So I'll probably just get the game and the season pass, to be honest, because like I say, the statue is of limited interest to me. It's as well the thing with the Wolfenstein special edition. As far as I can make out, the one that's coming out, one comes with an action figure, and it's like not really asked about an action figure, to be honest. So
they've done the same with Far Cry 5 as well. Looks like.
Far Cry have a long history of the little statues, the little resin statues, you know, usually the villains.
Yeah, it looks like it is. There's a kind of preacher guy, the father figurine.
Oh, I am looking forward to Far Cry 5 now because just some of the anger from right-wing America at depicting white Christians as villains.
No, it's just crazy, isn't it?
Villains in games are brown people.
Exactly. That guy doesn't look like he's from somewhere sandy at all.
These will be the same people that got upset when, was it Overwatch put a map in that was meant to be Iraq in the future and it was nice?
I think you're right.
And people lost their shit over that. How dare you suggest that Iraq will be a nice place ever? Like, what? It's fucking mapping a game. Shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got to get back into Far Cry. I played 1 and 2 and then just didn't get the others.
I think I've played them all at some point or another.
I mean, I enjoyed 1 and 2. There was nothing especially that put me off the others. So, I don't know. I'll maybe add them to my list of stuff I'm trying to recapture my youth with.
Yeah, but it's like with 4, if you play 4, you can fight a Yeti.
You sold it there. That's there all I need to know. In fact, what do I get on?
I am wrong. The only Far Cry game I haven't played is Primal.
I don't think that went down very well, to be honest.
I think because the map was essentially the same as Far Cry 4's, except 10,000 BC.
Yeah.
Because I saw side-by-side pictures of it's essentially the same map, so people were like,
I'm the guy who pointed that out, by the way. I went on, I noticed
then it's, then it's you, my man.
Yeah, I noticed that the maps were virtually identical, created a GIF to overlay them, and I got so much hate. Ooh. I got so much hate for that, for pointing out that they had reused the map, but just made it sort of less...
See, and Nintendo, Nintendo do that with Zelda games, and we fucking love it. Like, Breath of the Wild, it's not the same map, but it is essentially the same layout of the world that has been in every single Zelda game. I know where things are. The desert's down to the bottom left. The water area is down to the bottom right. Death Mountain is up to the top right. And that has remained true throughout every game.
How is Death Mountain these days? Still deathy?
Still very deathy.
Okay.
Very deathy, but, you know, nice this time of year.
Okay.
I'm just looking up Far Cry 4 on Amazon, so I can play that. It looks like it was remastered, because I can get the 360 version and a PS4 version.
It was one of those crossover. It was one of the awkward crossover phases where we were getting games on both both generations. Because we can't make a clean break with the past anymore, apparently.
No.
The past has to hang around, stinking up the place.
But pre-owned, I don't know, there's about £4 in difference in price in the pre... Oh, fuck it, let's get the PS4.
Also, I think...
Let's splash out £7.
I think you can get you can get like a double pack of that and Primal as well, so that might be cheap also if you want to get both just to see, or...
That sat around £24 pre-owned and £30.
Oh, we'll sort that now, just get 4 then.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I also need 3, actually, because I bought that on Steam and then couldn't run it on anything because it's a 3D game. Oh, that is Xbox 360. Oh, that's super cheap. Oh, I'm having that now then. Okay.
Speaking of Steam, the Steam sales just ended. So
I know. It was a source of a little bit of frustration that we started this on the day that the sale ended.
Yeah. We can't give any recommendations.
No. I didn't buy anything this year, though.
I did. I tried not to, but I did. But it's so boring stuff. I just bought like DLC packs that I didn't want to pay full price for games I haven't played in ages, but I probably will, but we know I'm not going to.
I like that I've got an extensive Steam library of what I think is nearly 100 games. And so many of them are unplayable on my hardware.
That laugh of derision, I couldn't keep it out.
Is that 100 games? Oh, only 100 games.
Only 100? My God, man.
Do you know what? My Steam library basically consists of the original Roller Coaster Tycoon, because it costs like £2 on there and I love that game. And that's basically it, because every laptop I've ever owned or thing is just, it runs like shite and everything. So, you know, I can basically play severely old things and that's kind of it. So that the two games that I played most on PC, if you like, is the OG original Roller Coaster Tycoon and Theme Hospital.
Theme Hospital is just
greatest game ever made.
Yeah, there are lots of people that would agree with you on that one.
Yeah,
absolutely. We were watching a video on that the other day on YouTube, just to sort of let's look back at Theme Hospital, and you realise that the key point to it all was that all the illnesses were made up, and if you'd not done that, it would have been quite a dark and upsetting thing.
Yeah, because you can sit and watch people's heads get blown up, exploded, and put a new one on. And sometimes if your hospital is sufficiently shitty, actual death will show up.
Yeah.
It's pretty dark.
And that's fine, but you just don't want people like, yeah, he's got bowel cancer. Like, oh, right. Okay. No, invisibility disease. That's what you want. That's much more fun.
Are there mods so that every so often someone will show up with a miscellaneous item up their arse?
There should be.
There should be.
Someone get on that, please.
Yes.
Moving on. Well, was this a... Yeah, achievement spam games are causing controversy on Steam. So I'm assuming this is because you have achievements for games on Steam, much like you do with Xbox and PlayStation. And people have been just shoveling shit out where that allows you to get loads of achievements for doing fuck all.
This is so bizarre to me. This is so bizarre because you said, you know, the achievements, you know, are a thing on Xbox and PlayStation and Steam, and they're virtually identical between, you know, if a game comes out on all three platforms, it'll have the same achievements. But the Steam versions don't have any points or rarities that sort of add to a score. So why would you bother spamming them?
I don't know.
I genuinely don't know. I know that some people are in now. Some people, there's kind of like different divisions of people with in achievement. People who are achievement hunters or trophy hunters and things like that. People who are just kind of score, so just a number, and people who are kind of into completion percentage. So buying a game which is piss easy and has thousands of achievements will artificially bump that sort of percentage number. So there's that, and the idea of, you know, I have this number of actual achievements, you know, I have 10,000 achievements. Well, you've played two games that have 5,000 achievements, and one of them is like, you know, click this button, click that button. I mean, again, because I'm not a huge Steam user, I haven't seen these things directly, but you know, this is something that's kind of leaked into Xbox and PlayStation as well a little bit with games which are of dubious quality but are extremely easy to get the full 1,000 or get a platinum trophy in PlayStation. And so people who are just looking to bump a number will just buy it to take 45 minutes to complete it, and that's it. You know, your number gets bumped up. And
I tried doing it once back in the day that and I ended up playing the Pirates of the Caribbean game and then just thought, fuck this.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I mean, because I sort of do achievement hunt a little bit. I mean, but I'm not very good. I've only been playing for a few years, but I'm coming up on 50,000 gamer score, humble brag. So I'm looking forward to sort of going through that barrier and all that sort of thing. It's stupid because it's just a pretend number that no one could possibly care about. But it's a thing of like, when I look over the achievements that I've got in games, there are some that I've got which were hard work or required skill. Yeah. And so you look back on those and go, yeah, that was good. And it's an enjoyable kind of like, oh, I'm proud of myself for sort of overcoming that barrier. And I've got this thing that says I did it, you know, so no one can take that away from you. Whereas I think the problem with these Steam games is because it's such sort of shitty, blatant shovelware, it diminishes that feeling, if you see what I mean. So people who've legitimately worked hard for achievements and got rare achievements, again, Xbox does this thing where it gives you a percentage of the gamers who play this game, who how many percent of the population of gamers actually got it. So you get to enjoy it if you've, you know, only 1% of your fellow gamers has got this achievement. Whereas, again, these sort of shovelware things kind of diminish that feeling, if you see what I mean.
But it's so odd to me because, in my opinion, the implementation of achievements on Steam is probably the best because they don't push that number, you know, the score in your face. And you sort of have like, I have, you know, if you go into someone's profile, if they choose, they can have like a little achievement showcase where they pick the favorite achievements that they've got. But unlike Xbox, there's not like, it's not just topping up a number, you know, that's automatically visible beside your name. So it's such a strange thing for people on Steam to be doing because it's of the three platforms that have achievements, they're doing it on the one with the least prominence.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they seem to be kind of trying to shoehorn the achievement idea into Steam almost. Do you feel? Because when I first sort of became aware of Steam, I don't think achievements were a thing on it at all. I mean, I'm not sure if I'm making that up. Right, yeah. So it sort of came later that achievements kind of got added to it.
Xbox started it, then sort of Steam and PlayStation caught up with their own systems. But achievements, you know, I like achievements generally, but I've never, I have achievement hunted on occasion. Sometimes you just want to 100% the game. Mm-hmm. But I've never achievement hoard. I've never been one for just boosting the, the counter.
I've never been interested in that.
I wonder if it would be different for us, because I'm the same as you guys. I just wonder if it would be different if we each got a school bus in the morning. You know?
Possibly.
Yeah, maybe.
Because, we're adults. I don't care what your gamer score is. It means nothing to me. But
yeah, just on that note, it could be, thinking about it, imagine how disastrous it could be, how impactful it could be if Nintendo, with, you know, the 2DS and the 3DS, suddenly introduced achievements.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because that is a thing where you can literally, you know, pull out of your pocket and show to your friends.
It's something that they're criticized a lot for not having. Their online offering is still pretty weak compared to everybody else's. And don't even get me started on the fucking voice chat on the Switch. That's just insane. Because you're going to need a phone app to do it. Which is...
Oh, yeah.
You need to get a special headset that mixes the audio from your phone and the Switch.
Nintendo just do not like the internet.
I know. It's like, why? Could you not just put a little microphone socket on the thing and I could maybe put a pair of earbuds with a microphone on and that'd do?
I think Switch needs to really address the problem about it being extremely hot and warping more than they need to worry about that.
Oh,
it's
fine.
I mean, because I've seen pictures online of people who've rigged up insane fan systems to their Switch to try and get it to cool down.
Honestly, I don't know what's causing, you know, I think there were some manufacturing faults in the early, the early products that shipped, and they fixed them. They've, you know, manufacturing processes improve very quickly, but also they replaced everything, so...
The last generation of this generation consoles have had problems with being hot. I mean, the Red Ring of Death was a heating problem in the Xbox.
Oh, God.
I saw a thing online the other day that apparently a big cause of failure in PlayStations is they're full of cockroaches because they have huge vents and they're hot, so cockroaches like to go and live in your PlayStation.
Ah.
And you get so many of them in there, it just clags it up and makes it explode.
You know, I have never seen a cockroach.
No, me either in real life.
I don't think it's as big a problem in England and all these dreary cold countries that we live
Certainly
in.
Certainly not as big a problem as The Sims tried to prepare me for.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cockroaches everywhere in that game.
Yeah, absolutely.
But speaking of the PlayStation...
Yes, go carry on.
Have you seen what they've done to the TV and video app on the PS4?
I've never gone near it.
It's actually... The PS4 is our main media player.
It is good for that, yeah, but...
Because it's got all the stuff you need. It's got Amazon, Netflix, Now TV, iPlayer. You're good to go. YouTube. It's fine. But they've just rejigged the there is now an app. There wasn't an app before. It was just a menu of which app do you want to launch. That was fine.
Oh, have they tried to consolidate it all inside one sort of app of their own making?
Yes, they have.
Because that is always a disaster.
It is absolutely a disaster. And of course, it pushes...
We got a new TV in the living room, and it's the first TV we've had which has its internet connectivity.
Right.
And it has apps on it. And all of the apps, like the iPlayer app and the ITV app that you can download as separate apps, are great. They work beautifully. But it also has its own catch-all app that supposedly does all the channels. It's, you know, it's a launcher for all of them, and it has never worked. It is a complete disaster.
Yeah, this is not much better than that, I'm afraid. And of course, it pushes the Sony store, which I have to declare this again to you, Sony. I'm never buying content on there. I'm just not. I'm sorry. I'm not buying video content that only works on one device.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
That's just batshit crazy. It's why you didn't sell any of those UMD discs for your PSP.
UMD.
Because no one wants to buy a movie collection for a device that's going to be discontinued in a couple of years. And
you could do a multi-part series on Sony's field formats. It is astounding, the volume. Every new device Sony makes, they have their own proprietary format.
Yeah.
Of memory or, you know, something for it. And it is a graveyard if you look at the list of them.
I have some memory sticks here that will agree with you on that.
Why?
I got a Sony camera. That's the problem. You buy a Sony camera, then suddenly you need fucking Sony memory sticks, don't you? That was years ago, and I've never bought another one since. Instead of using those cumbersome SD cards that are only available everywhere.
Yeah, and very affordably too.
Very affordably, yes. No, use these other things. They do nothing different. They just cost more. No, thank you. So, yeah, I'm frowning upon the PS4 TV and video app, and I'm kind of waiting for the new Apple TV to come out.
Is there no option to just, you know, launch the apps? Have they literally taken over?
It's taken over the menu system. You can't avoid it now. It's rather frustrating.
That's a problem. That's because, like, yeah, my PS4 is my occasional sort of Netflix box. I had to use it a couple months ago, actually, because I had to sign up for a Now TV account, a free trial, because it was the only way I could get Twin Peaks.
Ah.
And, you know, the new Twin Peaks series. This is how bad it is. I literally could not wait the hour to torrent it. I couldn't wait. I had to go up in the middle of at 3 a.m. in the morning, signing up for this awful, awful Now TV account and downloading the app and signing in and getting it to refresh. It was a disaster, but I persevered.
Yeah, and we use Now TV on it all the time because it's significantly cheaper than Sky.
Does anyone do Sky anymore?
We did.
We used to, but
we've got it.
Really?
God. Yeah, we have it because the way we live in sort of the edge of the world up here in Great Yarmouth, there's basically for satellite television, it's Sky or nothing.
Really?
Because Virgin Media is not available here.
You don't want Virgin Media.
We had Virgin when we lived in Essex, and it fucking sucked a nut. So but we needed everything. So we needed TV, broadband, all these things. So you can get a pretty good package. Also, it means that I can have the sports channel, so I can watch the NFL. So it kind of works all in for us. Also, Chuck is really good at acting like he's never heard of televisions or the internet, and people take pity on him on the phone and give us discounts. So it seems to work pretty well for us.
It's nice having someone like that around. Sort
of, yeah, it really is. So especially when he, you know, he's an internet security specialist. He knows more than the jabroni on the phone, but it works to act dumb. So, you know, we've got multi-room and stuff like that. So I can be up here watching stuff. He's downstairs watching something else again. And we get Twin Peaks simulcast as well. So if, you know, so we can say, this is the water and this is the well.
Drink deep, understand.
Yep.
Oh, God.
That was an amazing episode, man.
That was amazing, and followed up by a terrible week where there was no episode.
Yeah.
I'm still reeling. I'm
sad about it. Yeah.
I should maybe watch this. I've seen season one.
Have you watched?
I've seen season one and I think half of season two, and then I kind of drifted on it, and then I think it was on Netflix and Netflix took it off.
I think Amazon Prime has it.
Well, if it's on Now TV, then I've got that. So,
yeah, I think Amazon Prime had it. Whether or not they still have it, I don't know. But yeah, Yeah, the new series is it's a tough sell. I love it.
Yeah. But
I would have trouble recommending it to anyone.
But I think that's always been the case with Twin Peaks, though, hasn't it?
Yes, but this have you seen Fire Walk With Me?
No.
Yeah, Twin Peaks and Fire Walk With Me, they're very different structures.
Right.
One is recognizable and one is Escher.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, because the episode that was just on, I would actually I would struggle to describe it as television.
Absolutely.
If you see what I mean. It kind of doesn't fit within that format. It was on a television, but it wasn't television as you know it.
I was seeing it with my eyes, but somehow.
Well, that's Twin Peaks. Fair enough.
Yeah.
So then we've reached the end of the news. Unless there's anything we missed, we've still pretty much reached the end of the news. So we can do a sort of, what are you playing this week kind of thing. This might turn out to be rubbish or useless. We'll see. We'll see.
Ladies first.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Go for it.
Well, I'm kind of in that weird thing of I'm a little bit in between games. I'm waiting for the last Sniper Elite 4 DLC to come out. It was meant to drop like the end of last month, but it hasn't come out quite yet. So while I'm kind of waiting for that to hit, I've been playing like one of my kind of fallback, just kind of pick at it every so often games, which is Plague Inc., which is an adaptation of the extraordinarily popular mobile game, which is one of the few mobile games I sort of played the hell out of and absolutely loved. I can't believe there's no one listening to this who hasn't heard of Plague Inc., but just in case, it's basically a disease simulator. You take control of a bacteria, a virus, many other sort of diseases that they have on this thing, and you go forth to try and destroy the world. It's extremely tactical. It will, you know, it will kind of melt your brain. It has, again, the sort of the difficulty scales. I mean, it goes up to something called Mega Brutal, which is extremely challenging. So it's a lot of fun. It's one of those games I couldn't say you will sit there. It's kind of still got a mobile ethos of kind of it being what they used to call like the throne game. You go to the loo and play it and you, you know, while you're doing the necessary, and then you're kind of finished with it for the rest of the day.
Which is particularly ironic for a game where you're talking about creating diseases.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. Especially like, you know, diarrhea is a symptom, so why not? But yeah, it's one of those games that I sort of just have it on the hard drive, and it's one of those ones like I say, when I'm, you know, between bigger games, or I just kind of, if I've been playing something else for a little while from a bit of a break, I'll just go and pick up that for like, you know, an hour or two. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. I've worked on some of the achievements for it, which there's some hard achievements in that game, because it's very what they call RNG dependent. So just random number generator, sort of just random events kind of thing. So it's quite challenging in that respect to kind of get, because you can try and manipulate how you spread your disease to kind of make different things trigger. So it's really tactical in that way. And yeah, I think it sort of goes on sale every so often. If you can pick it up for a few quid, definitely go and give it a go. Never played it before, I 100% recommend, you know, go and giving it a look.
Is Madagascar still a bit of a bastard?
Oh God, yes. the one that my kryptonite is Greenland. Fuck Greenland. I hate you.
Pro tip for Plague Inc. Name your disease after one of your mates.
Absolutely.
Just makes it far more fun. Craig Bevan has killed millions of people. Yay.
I think we've all wiped out, you know, humanity with Brexit at some point.
Yeah. They're really good with keeping the game updated. There's been like quite a lot of free updates.
It's multiplayer now, isn't it?
I'm not sure about that, but they've introduced a new disease as like a vampire plague now. So you control the head vampire and go from country to country. It's a little bit like the zombie plague and the Planet of the Apes tie-in, if you've seen any of those.
I was going to say, they must have done a Walking Dead tie-in or something like that.
They did a zombie plague. So it wasn't ostensibly, it wasn't like Walking Dead branded, but they did a zombie virus. And like I say, they did a Planet of the Apes tie-in. because obviously in the reboot Planet of the Apes, the humans are kind of decimated by a flu-like virus as well as which makes the apes intelligent, spoiler alert. So you kind of role play that, and yeah, they've just released another free update for it a few weeks ago, which is, like I say, a vampire plague, and they introduce all the Brexit stuff because there's four Brexit related achievements. There's one, two, there's a soft Brexit achievement, like a medium, a hard Brexit and a stop Brexit altogether achievement. So there's four things to go with that. So they're keeping up with the times, and, you know, shout out to them for making all these things free. A lot of games will make you pay DLC for that. So at the moment, there's a hell of a lot of content. Like I say, a lot of difficulty levels, challenging achievements if you're into achievements and trophies. So yeah, I would, like I say, if you can get it for a few quid, check it out.
Absolutely. I mean, I've got it in my library. I got it probably a couple of years ago, and it's just a completely different game now. I'm looking at the achievement list, and it's 179 achievements. And now that you've told me there's Brexit criteria, I'm going to get them all.
Yeah, you've got to go back in there now, haven't you? Absolutely.
Yeah, try the new Plague out. It's quite hard. I haven't really got dug into it a lot. But yeah, the new Plague is quite tricky because like I say, you're playing as a vampire, so you have to kind of protect your vampire while he's getting, you know, he or she is getting stronger. And like if you've played the zombie one, there's Zedcom that tries to come and destroy you. There are Knights Templar that set up bases and then try and come and get you. So you have to then attack the bases and consolidate your vampires, because the virus in it you can sort of set it to create new vampires, but that is like only 10,000 victims of the plague will actually turn into a vampire.
That is woefully inefficient vampire.
It is very inefficient, but like
that is the worst vampire film of all time.
Yeah. Will only become a vampire that you can manipulate and send from country to country, if you see what I mean. Other ones just sort of become like shamblers. So you have to kind of balance when you're going to make your plague lethal and hope that you can create enough vampires to win versus killing off the population before you can do anything else. So it's quite challenging.
Awesome. Cool. I'm definitely going to dive back into that.
What have you been playing this week then, Mike?
Well, this week in particular, I've been playing a lot of Google SketchUp, Google's 3D modeling tool. I've been treating it like a game, because I'm designing some new furniture. But
fair enough. Oh, this
has been a lot of that. Aside from that, I've been playing a lot of City Skylines.
Oh, I nearly got that in the Steam sale.
Yeah, well, they had a bit of the company, what's their name? Paradox. It's actually in the recent news on the Steam sale. They had a bit of it's an odd one. They raised their prices before the Steam sale, which an awful lot of developers do. It's a shitty practice, so they can raise the prices so that then when the sale prices come out, they can say, look, this is 67% off, when it isn't really. But they said that they raised their prices just to compensate for fluctuation changes, you know, currency fluctuation changes. But they're also notorious for putting out tons of paid DLC for a lot of their games. So it wasn't received very well, and they're rolling it back. But I did pick up all the DLC that I was missing for City Skylines. So I've been playing a lot of that, and I've been loving modding it. It's a great game to mod.
It looks lots of fun. I wonder if it's a bit SimCity-ish. Well, it's a city builder.
Yeah.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Excuse me. And do you know what? I could never play SimCity. I'm fucking awful at SimCity. I can't make a city that works. Never have. Never ever. And I've played it since, God, I think I had the version for the Amstrad CPC.
God, you old motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah. And
I'm kind of jealous though, because I've never had a console with wood paneling.
Neither have I.
Really?
Neither have I. I'm not. Hey, my first.
You could have though. You could have.
I could have. My first console was an Xbox.
What?
Yeah.
Hey.
Well, I'm British. We didn't play NES and SNES. We had Commodore 64.
Did you have a Sega Drive,
your peasant? I had a Sega Master System and an idea.
I had, what was it? I've just been through this on Take It or Leave It, actually.
God, no wonder you love the Switch so much. You're basically an infant.
Yeah. we had the Amstrad for years. Moved from the Amstrad to the Amiga, to another Amiga, and then to PC. And it wasn't until the first Xbox came along that I actually got a console. So it's just how it's been. So that's kind of why I'm now going back through and playing lots of old franchises that I've never played.
We're in a sort of a golden age of the remaster and the re-release, where we're getting all these old classic games. Like, I've been loving playing the old Monkey Island games. I like dipping into them every so often, but just the other week we had, or is it just the other day, in fact, we had the Crash Bandicoot. I never played those. I'm looking forward to playing the
Me also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My brother's been playing through those because we had a PS1 back in the day, and my brother was on Facebook saying, how the fuck did I do this 100% when I was young? Because there's been loads of people online saying, is Crash Bandicoot basically Dark Souls? Because
yes.
There was loads of people just saying, how in the fuck did I ever play this game when I was young? And, 100% it, or I think, because one of the Crash Bandicoots, can't you like 105% complete it and things like that? So,
That bugs me.
Yeah.
Any game that does that, don't do that. Don't put it over 100%. That's just, no, I will not play.
Yeah. But I think, again, I hate to be a cynic, but I think a lot of the remastering has to do with the fact that these games came out 15, 20 years ago, and the people who wanted to play them 15, 20 years ago were 10, but now they're 30 and 25 and 30 years old and can afford to buy these games and indulge in that nostalgia. So, I'm sure, although it's lovely for us that we get to go back and play these things again and enjoy them,
there's a brutal irony there, because for those, you say 20-odd years ago, if you were a PlayStation gamer, your games were relatively affordable.
Yeah.
And so now, back then you could have played most of the games that you wanted to play. I was an N64 household.
Oh.
And our games were 60 quid a pop.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we did that, but my brother's a hardcore Nintendo kid, so we had a 64, but
one of those households.
No, but when we lived, we did swing both ways. But what it was, even when we had a Mega Drive, we owned one game with these, one, the one that came with it usually. And down the road from us, about a 5-minute walk, was a video shop, if you remember those.
I do. Oh,
yeah. And they hired games out. So my mum and dad were like, we ain't buying you anything. Here's £2. Go and hire them for a week. So that's all we used to do, is hire games from this one guy who I think we put his kids through college, because we would just go pocket money straight down there, hire a game, and me and my brother would rinse it and then take it back.
Whoa. His generation didn't have to pay for university.
Yeah, that's true. But you see, that's actually why I never had a console, because my parents knew, like, we'll get you that. And then you want Street Fighter 2, and that's £70.
Yeah.
And we're never going to buy you that. And even if we did,
that's why we dodged that bullet.
Yeah, even if we did, you'll never get another game.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I never finished Ocarina of Time, is because I rented it several times, but you can only rent it for a few days, and you can't complete it then. No. I mean, I know, SGDQ is on at the minute, and they can complete it in 10 minutes, but I've never completed Ocarina of Time. Although I have deleted many other people's save games.
There's some kid waiting to come back to it, like, my save will still be there. No!
It's a beautiful feeling, because you don't see it. You don't see it, but you feel it. Oh, look how many rupees you had.
Oh, yeah.
But it must have been a strange experience hiring the same. I mean, because we used to hire the same games over and over again. But like the sort of weird selection of stuff that the guy used to have, and as well, they'd sort of be next to the shelves of Video Nasties before they got taken away. So next to Driller Killer, was the shelf that had sort of the range of games. And I can't tell you how many times me and my brother hired out Two Crude Dudes. A very shitty game.
Two Crude Dudes. I was just playing that the other day.
What? You started speaking in code.
No, it's you're right, Emma. It's fucking awful. But
it's terrible. But we played it over and over and over again.
I'll to talk about what I've been playing.
Jesus, that is the most 90s box art I can imagine.
Yeah.
What? Do yourself a favor, Mike. Go on YouTube and just look up a walkthrough, a playthrough of it, and just watch the opening cinematic in inverted commas. It is a beautiful artifact of the early 90s.
I've been building up my ROM collection for the Raspberry Pi.
Have you built one of those?
Yeah, it's dead easy.
I'm looking forward to building one of those because I'm not going to buy a NES Classic.
No, you'd be crazy to.
You would.
There's a pack on Amazon, it's like 50 quid, comes with a controller, an SD card and everything you need.
Yeah, I've seen them.
It just is, honestly, you just assemble it, which takes 15 seconds. They are Kinder Egg toy complicated. And just put RetroPie on your SD card with your computer and you're away. And it's amazing. It's just amazing. I've got loads of folders on my desktop at the moment that are all just... Look at that one, 818 Game Boy games. 875 Mega Drive games. And these are like... You download a ROM pack, which is basically every game for the system, and you pick out the ones that you want to play.
Yeah.
Because obviously... No one needs 3,500 NES games or whatever it is. You want to play about 12 of them. So, you know, you have to go through and sort it out. But I'm still getting through Legend of Zelda Link to the Past on the SNES. And I've just discovered the original Puyo Puyo games.
Oh, yeah.
Because they brought out Puyo Puyo Tetris for the Switch and PS4. And do you know what? I fucking love it. I can't put it down.
Is that what you've been playing?
Yeah, it is. I got it a couple of months ago. I got it when it came out. And it's still, because it's a puzzle game, you can just keep doing it forever. There's no completion as such. And it's such a fun game. And I kind of prefer the Puyo Puyo bit to the Tetris bit. I find it difficult to say and have to really concentrate and take my time over it. But yeah, that's a cracking little thing. And of course, Metroid Prime on the GameCube.
That's another reason I want to get the 2DS. Is there there's a new Metroid game coming out, a remake, another remake?
Yes.
God, we're tying everything up. They're remaking Metroid 2. Was it an old Game Boy Metroid game?
Yeah, it's the Game Boy. It's sort of like a reimagining of the Game Boy.
Yeah,
version,
but with
of
new
Metroid
gameplay
2.
And
yeah,
you know, new graphics and that. So yeah.
It is on my list of 3DS games to get my hands on.
Yeah.
To be honest, there's lots of those coming out. So, yeah, I thought I'd go back and try the old Metroid games. And I get it. I you know, I've been playing through Metroid 1 on my 3DS and on the Raspberry Pi. That's great. A bit primitive, but it takes me right back. It's very nostalgic for me. And then Metroid Prime on the GameCube. A great game marred by horrendous controls.
The GameCube version,
yeah.
I hear that's one of the things that the Wii actually was significantly better at.
I'm expecting Metroid Prime 3 for the Wii to arrive this week, so I'll be able to tell you next week if it's any better. But it, you know how on first person shooters, left thumbstick works the movement, right thumbstick works the view, and they don't do that.
Yeah. Always a problem.
It kind of reminds me actually of trying to play modern, we'll say modern, so a 360 game with my significant other, who hasn't seriously played games since they're on ZX Spectrum. So trying to put a controller in his hand and sort of explaining, you know, the left stick sort of makes you go forward, and imagining that the right stick is like your head and is, and then looking out, playing Left 4 Dead with him and looking over at his side of the screen and he's spinning around in a cupboard.
It's
like help the aged, mate.
Lead strats.
My dad taught my mum into having a go at what I think is one of the Call of Duties on the PlayStation, and he's still taking the piss for the fact that that she couldn't get the man into the training stage on the opening bit of the game. The thing that teaches you how to move and shoot the gun, she couldn't get onto that, and it took her about half an hour and she gave up. And that was now she plays Candy Crush on her phone. That's what she does. Bless her. Well, this has been awesome.
Yeah, I enjoyed this. Nothing burned down.
Exactly. Nothing burned down.
I still enjoyed it, though.
No one got hurt. It's all good. I will take that. I think we should have email for this show as well. So Simply Syndicated Gaming News at simplysyndicated.com. We'll all get an email. If you want to email us about anything or ask gaming questions or share opinions, or as I'm sure some of you have many of, that's the thing. So obviously
gamers aren't opinionated.
No, not at all. They don't ever have opinions that they want to share with people on the internet.
Passive people. Peace loving.
Yes. So obviously with this being episode one, we have no email because you didn't know what the email address was, but Simply Syndicated Gaming News at simplysyndicated.com seems like a good one to go for. Feel free to email us about anything. So we'll be back next week with some more gaming news and other games we've been playing. Maybe I'll have finished Link to the Past by then. Who can fucking tell? It's massive. So until then, bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.